The BBC presents Peter Cook and Marjorie Westbury in Paul Temple and the Conrad Case by Francis Durbridge. Episode 1, The Man from Munich.
Paul, the clock on the dashboard says 12 o'clock.
I make it 12:20.
I'd no idea it was as late as that.
It's been quite an evening, hasn't it, Steve? I haven't danced so much for years.
No, you haven't.
I seem to detect a slight note of sarcasm in that remark.
Well, really, darling. These modern dances aren't quite your cup of tea.
Are you suggesting that I need a course of 6 easy lessons?
6?
Well, considering it was a charity ball, I think you might be a little more charitable about my dancing.
I will. Are you going to put the car away, Paul?
No, I'll let Charlie do it.
Won't he be in bed?
Well, you've forgotten. It's his night out. He's probably been to the Pally, indulging in his weekly bout of rock and roll.
Ah, now that's an idea.
What?
Maybe Charlie could give you 6 easy lessons.
Well, so you're still up, Charlie?
Yes, Mr. T.
Did you have a good time?
No, it was a proper washout.
Oh.
Old time night, waltzes and foxtrots. Me and Beryl left soon after 9.
Bad luck, Charlie. I have a feeling Mr. Temple and I would have done better at the Palais.
Any messages, Charlie?
Yes, a chap telephoned. Wanted to speak to you. It was such a terrible line, I haven't got a clue what it was all about.
But didn't you get his name?
Well, he said something about phoning from France and he'd ring again later.
Charlie, did you leave the light on in the drawing room?
Oh, yes, Mrs. Temple. Sir Graham Forbes and somebody's in there. They've been waiting over an hour. I told Sir Graham to help himself to a whiskey and soda. I hope that was all right, Mr. Temple.
Yes, yes, of course. Put the car away, Charlie.
Yes.
Here you are.
Oh, I'm sorry you've had such a long wait, Sir Graham.
Nice to see you both again.
Why on earth didn't you let us know you were coming?
We've been out tripping the light fantastic.
Well, at least we've been tripping.
May I introduce Herr Wilhelm Breckschaft of the Munich Police, Mr. and Mrs. Temple.
How do you do, Herr Breckschaft?
I'm delighted to meet you, Mrs. Temple, Mr. Temple.
I'm delighted to meet you, Herr Breckschaft. But please, let me get you another drink.
Oh, not at the moment, if you don't mind, sir.
Charlie told us to help ourselves. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, I should think so, after all these years. Are you here on holiday, Herr Breckschaft?
Not exactly a holiday, Mrs. Temple.
I picked Herr Breckschaft up at London Airport this evening. It's an unofficial visit, at least so far as the press are concerned.
It is, however, a matter of some urgency, Mr. Temple. My colleagues and myself are engaged upon an inquiry, and I have come to ask for help from Sir Graham Forbes.
Is it a murder case, Herr Breckschaft?
No. It concerns a well-known school near Garmisch-Partenkirchen in Bavaria.
Not Weldon's?
Oh, that is the place. You know it, Mrs. Temple?
A great friend of mine was expelled from there. They were very strict in those days.
They are still strict. That is why this affair is extraordinary. The young ladies are under close supervision, yet one of them has disappeared.
Disappeared? What kind of school is this?
It's one of the best finishing schools on the continent. Very exclusive.
Breckschaft tells me that it's owned and run by a widow, an Englishwoman, a Mrs. Elizabeth Weldon.
That's right. Her pupils come from all over Europe, indeed from all over the world.
How old are these girls?
Oh, 16 to 19.
And the missing girl?
She's 18.
And English. That's why Breckschaft's here.
Her name is Betty Conrad. She is the daughter of a Harley Street psychiatrist.
Oh.
The circumstances are most unusual. The girl seems to have vanished into thin air. My men have made many inquiries, but so far we have been unable to throw any light upon this strange affair.
I see. Are there any other facts?
Yes, yes, there are many facts, Mr. Temple. We discovered that Betty Conrad had been friendly with a young Englishman named Dennis Harper.
Dennis Harper?
Yes, yes. He works in the Anglo-Continental Bank at Munich. When the girl disappeared, Harper was not to be found, and we thought they might have gone away together. But he returned a few days later. He had been on a motoring holiday in Austria and knew nothing at all about Betty Conrad's disappearance. Mm-hmm. Indeed, he seemed to be genuinely upset when we told him about it.
And what about Mrs. Weldon? Was she upset?
Oh, of course, Mrs. Temple. She was most disturbed. Nothing like this had ever happened before at Weldon's.
Did you question anyone else besides Mrs. Weldon and Dennis Harper?
Yes, yes. It's over a week now since the girl disappeared, so we have questioned many people. There's an English novelist named Elliot France. He frequently stays with a friend of his, a Countess Decker, who has an estate quite near the school. When he is staying with her, she occasionally invites Mrs. Weldon and some of the pupils to tea or for music in the evening.
Elliot France. I've read some of his books.
Oh, yes, yes. I expect you have, Mr. Temple. He is one of these international characters, travels about a great deal.
Does Mr. France come into this inquiry?
Yes, he does. You see, Betty Conrad shared a room with June Jackson, an American girl. On the day she disappeared, she told June that she was going to Schweidenstein.
Where is that?
That's the name of Countess Decker's estate.
Oh, I see.
She told June that she was going there because she'd been invited to have tea with Elliot France. She was very thrilled about it.
And did she keep the appointment?
She caught a bus outside the school and was seen to leave it at the main gates of the estate. Since then, there has been no trace of her.
And what did Mr. France have to say about all this?
That's the peculiar part about it, Mrs. Temple. He says he hardly knew the girl. Certainly never gave her an invitation.
Perhaps the Countess issued the invitation.
No, she denies ever having been in touch with Betty Conrad.
Did Betty mention this invitation to any of the other girls or to Mrs. Weldon?
No. She didn't mention it to anyone except June Jackson.
But surely she should have notified someone in authority that she was going to be out to tea.
She should have done, Mrs. Temple. But she didn't.
I take it the girl's parents have been notified.
Yes, and the girl's mother. Well, actually, it's her stepmother. Doesn't seem at all concerned. But the father's extremely worried.
I think perhaps Mrs. Weldon is more worried than anyone else, Sir Graham. She's terrified that this affair might get into the newspapers. I've told her that we can't withhold it from the press indefinitely.
I suppose she's frightened of what the other parents will think.
Exactly, Mrs. Temple.
Well, it's interesting, Sir Graham, but I'm afraid I can't express an opinion without first talking to the people concerned.
That's exactly what we'd like you to do, Temple.
But I can't possibly rush off to Garmisch at a moment's notice.
Why not? You always said you liked Bavaria.
Yes, I do, but you know jolly well I...
Well, Temple?
I'll sleep on it, Sir Graham. Give me a ring tomorrow morning.
This morning, darling. Oh, dear. It's 1 o'clock. You'd better lock the front door, Paul.
I think Charlie's done it. Steve, do you really want me to get involved in this case?
No.
But you said...
Well, I know what'll happen if you don't. You'll start work on another book, and I shan't see you for weeks. Months, in fact. Look what happened when you wrote the Tyler mystery. You even had your meals in the study.
Yes, I know, but this doesn't seem a very interesting case to me.
Excuse me, sir. Mr. Breck...
I beg your pardon, Mr.
Temple. Oh, come in here, Breckshaw.
I'm afraid I've left my valise somewhere. Mm-hmm. I put it down near the sofa. There it is.
Oh, wait, I'll get it for you. There you are.
Thank you. It's most kind of you. Good night, Mrs. Temple.
Good night.
Oh, there's one small point I forgot to mention.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really important, at least I don't think so, but when my men searched Betty Conrad's room at the school, they found in her desk a little cocktail stick, you know, the kind you have in a gin and Italian, perhaps.
Yes.
This stick was rather unusual because the top represented the head of a dog, an Alsatian dog.
But why shouldn't she have it?
Please. Some days later, when I was taking my family for a drive in the country, we stopped at an inn for a drink. It was about 20 miles from the school. They had identically the same type of cocktail stick that we had found in Betty Conrad's desk. And they assured me the sticks were exclusive to that particular inn. The proprietor was very proud of them, in fact.
Did you describe Betty Conrad to him?
Yes, yes, and showed him a photograph of her, but neither he nor his staff recognized her. Mrs. Weldon had told me that girls were not allowed outside a 5-mile radius of the school, unless they were accompanied by their parents.
Then how could she have got that cocktail stick?
Well, someone could have taken one for a souvenir, I suppose, and given it to her.
Oh, that's a possibility, of course. So, Mr. Temple, do you think you will be able to help us?
I'm afraid I still haven't decided, Herr Breckshaft. But as I told Sir Graham, I'll sleep on it.
Very well. And now I mustn't detain you any longer. Good night, Mrs. Temple.
Good night.
I'll see you to the door. Steve, I wish you'd speak to Charlie about the toast.
He blames that new machine you bought. He says it's out of adjustment or something.
Oh, he's out of adjustment, if you ask me. I'll buy him a toasting fork.
Oh, darling. You sound very grumpy this morning.
I'll have some more coffee, please.
Yes, you shall. Well, Paul, are we going to Germany?
No, darling, we're not.
Oh, I see.
It's no use, Steve. I've got far too much work to do.
Yes, dear.
I've got that new novel to write, and by the end of next month, I've promised... Oh, why on earth doesn't Charlie answer the telephone?
He has answered it.
And I can just imagine what's going on.
Well, really, you are in a mood.
Mr. Temple,
That
man's on the phone again, the chap that telephoned last night. But I got it wrong, sir. He wasn't talking from France. His name's France.
Oh.
Well, it must be Elliot France, darling.
Yes. All right, Charlie, I'll take it. You'd better listen on the extension, Steve.
Yes, all right. Clear the table, will you, Charlie, please?
Yes, Mrs. T.
Hello, Paul Temple speaking.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Temple. My name is Franz. I telephoned you last night, but unfortunately you were out.
Yes, I got your message, Mr. Franz, but I couldn't ring you back because you didn't leave a number.
No, I'm only in England for a few days.
Oh. Well, what can I do for you?
Well, I rather wanted to have a word with you, if you could spare me a moment or two.
Yes, certainly. I'd be delighted to meet the author of Zero is Tomorrow.
Thank you.
But couldn't you give me some idea what it's all about?
It's about... Betty Conrad.
Betty Conrad? But when you telephoned last night, I hadn't even heard of the girl.
Yes, I know. I also know about her Brickshaw's visit to your flat last night.
Really? Well, I shall be here all the morning if you care to call.
No, I'm afraid I can't do that. You see, I'm staying out of town, and if you wouldn't mind... Look, do you know Poynter's Hotel near Godston?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Do you think we could possibly meet there for lunch today?
Well, if you can make it fairly late, say 1:30.
That will do admirably. I shall look forward to seeing
you. Would you have any objection if my wife came along?
No, of course not. I'd be delighted.
Good. Well, 1:30 then.
Yes. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You really are extraordinary. Here we are dashing down to Godston, and yet you say that you're not going to get mixed up in this affair.
I said I had a great deal of work to do. Anyway, you must confess the whole thing sounds a little more intriguing.
You mean since Elliot France telephoned?
Yes.
By the way, he doesn't write many novels, does he?
No, but those he does write sell like mad all over the world.
I've never read one of them.
Well, I don't think it'll worry him very much, darling. I'm told he's got an enormous private income.
Has he? Oh, well, he'll probably have a jolly interesting lunch. Although it's going to be a bit awkward if he asks me if I've read any of his books. I know you can tell me the plot of the one you mentioned, Zero is Tomorrow. If you can remember the plot, of course.
No, I can remember it all right. Zero is Tomorrow happens to be the title of my next novel.
Your next novel?
Yes.
But why did you mention it to Elliot France?
I suddenly had a hunch. I wanted to discover if the gentleman on the telephone really was Elliot France.
And wasn't he?
No, he wasn't. No, you're quite right, Steve. I think it's going to be a jolly interesting lunch.
Yes, sir? You've reserved a table.
I think Mr. France has already booked.
Ah, yes, of course. Mr. and Mrs. Temple.
That's it.
And Mr. France has just phoned to say he'll be down in a few moments, sir.
You mean Mr. France is staying here?
Yes, sir. He's been here for several days. He's asked me to serve cocktails on the terrace. Will you come this way, please?
Aren't you going to finish your drink, darling?
No, I'm not very keen on it.
Well, too much gin?
Yes. Paul, have you noticed the cocktail sticks?
Yes.
Exactly like the one that Breckshaft found in Betty Conrad's room.
I know. Waiter.
Yes, sir?
Mr. Franz is rather a long time. We've been here 20 minutes.
Yes, I'm sorry, sir. He must have been detained.
Oh, well, could you get us some olives?
Yes, certainly, sir.
Oh, waiter.
Mr. Temple?
These cocktail sticks, they're rather unusual, aren't they? How long have you had them here?
No time at all, sir. Mr. Franz said you'd be amused.
Well, did Mr. Franz supply them, then?
He did indeed, madam. He insisted I use them for your cocktails. I gathered it was some kind of a private joke, sir.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Thank you, waiter. Don't forget the olives.
Right away, sir.
Our host seems to have a rather strange sense of humour.
Mm-hmm.
These sticks are rather attractive, aren't they? The Alsatian is awfully well carved.
Hmm.
What are you thinking about, darling?
You know, Steve, I think there's more to this business than just the disappearance of a schoolgirl. I think that when Breckshaft contacted Sir Graham Forbes, he knew perfectly
well... Excuse me, sir. Mr. Franz sent this note down for you.
Note? Oh, thank you. All right, thank you, waiter.
Yes, sir.
What does it say, Paul?
Listen, I'm extremely sorry. I shall be unable to keep our appointment. I have been urgently summoned to see a friend at Oxted. I shall be most offended, however, if you do not stay to lunch. The waiter has his instructions. Perhaps you could look in at my friend's cottage on your way back to town. The address is Bankside Cottage, Faraday Lane, Oxted. Elliot France. P.S. I will explain my shaggy dog joke when I see you.
What does he mean by shaggy dog joke?
Presumably the cocktail sticks.
Oh, yes. Well, what do we do now, Mr. Temple?
There's only one thing we can do, Steve.
What's that?
Have a free lunch, darling. Excuse me. Could you direct me to Bankside Cottages in Faraday Lane?
Yes, sir. You mean Dr. Conrad's place?
Dr. Conrad?
That's right. He's a big London doctor. He comes down here at weekends.
It must be Betty Conrad's father.
You keep straight down here, and the house you want is right at the end, just past the little pond.
I see. Thank you very much.
The garden's rather neglected.
Yes. This lawn could certainly do with a trim.
It's all very quiet, darling. I don't think there's anyone in.
Oh, there never is.
No.
Well, you ought to be used to this kind of thing by now.
Yes.
Go on, ring the bell.
If the doctor only comes at weekends.
But the note distinctly said that the man who called himself Franz had an urgent summons here.
Yes. I still think there's no one in. But if there is, they're certainly not hurrying themselves.
Well, this door's not locked. Come on, let's go in.
Oh, look, there are some letters on the floor.
Yes, I just noticed them. Circulars. Detergent coupon. Hello. Here's a postcard.
What does it say?
It's addressed to Mrs. Ruth Conrad. It's from a tailor by the look of things, but there's no name on it, no address.
But what does it say?
Dear madam, your coat, the blue coat, will be ready on Friday the 18th at 4 o'clock.
Friday the 18th?
Yes, that's next Friday.
Yes. Well, at any rate, it looks as if Mrs. Conrad spends some time here.
Yes, that's just what I was thinking. Steve, I'm going to have a good look round this place. We'll start here. Now, this looks as if it might be the drawing. By Timothy, what a shambles. There's been a devil of a struggle. Steve, stay where you are.
What is it, Paul?
There's someone on the floor at the back of the settee. No, don't move, darling. Stay where you are.
Who is it?
I don't know.
Do you think it's the man who telephoned you, the man who pretended to be Franz?
It could be.
Yes. Oh. He's dead, isn't he?
Yes, Steve. He's dead.
Well, you've certainly had quite a day, Temple. Quite a day.
Haven't the police any idea who the murdered man might be, Sir Graham?
No, Temple. But they're sure of two things. One, that he's not Elliot Franz. Two, that he's the man who stayed at Poynter's and called himself Franz. But as to how he knew so many facts about this particular case, we just can't imagine. Unless Breckshaft can throw some light on the matter.
I regret, Sir Graham, that I know nothing about this man.
Did you see Dr. Conrad?
Yes. There again, I'm afraid, we seem to have struck a dead end. He knew nothing about the man either. Had no idea how he got into the house.
The man who killed him must have gotten into the house as well. What were they after?
I don't know. And Dr. Conrad can't throw any light on it either. He told me he hardly uses the house now. Was thinking of selling it. It seems his wife doesn't care very much for the country.
Does Mrs. Conrad know anything about the dead man?
Apparently not. She was present when I gave her husband the description, and she said she'd no idea who he could be.
I see. Oh, I found this postcard, Sir Graham. It's addressed to Mrs. Conrad. It was on the mat near the front door.
Mm-hmm. Blue coat, Friday the 18th. Why should she give them her country address? If she's hardly ever there.
Exactly.
I may be wrong, but I have a feeling that Dr. Conrad is withholding information, Sir Graham.
Yes, well, I'm afraid there's nothing we can do about that at the moment.
Mr. Temple, forgive me for raising the question again, but have you reached a decision about this case?
Yes. If you think I can be of any help to you, Herr Breckshaft, I'm at your disposal.
Thank you, Mr. Temple. Could you and Mrs. Temple fly to Munich with me tomorrow?
Yes, I think that can be arranged. I must say these German roads are wonderful.
Yes.
This car goes like a bomb.
Was it very expensive to hire?
Yes, it was. I shall charge it up to Sir Graham.
Paul, you never said a word to Breckshaft about the cocktail sticks.
The cocktail sticks?
Yeah, the pointers.
Oh, didn't I?
No, you didn't.
Timothy, you're quite right, I didn't. I forgot all about it.
Oh, yes?
What do you mean, oh, yes?
Come off it, Paul. Oh, look, that must be the school.
By Timothy, it's quite a place, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I didn't think it'd be as impressive as that.
Neither did I. Paul, why didn't Herr Breckshaft come with us?
I thought it would be less embarrassing for Mrs. Weldon if we had a little chat off the record, as it were.
Was that the only reason?
Yes, darling, the only reason. Ah, here we are.
I'm delighted to meet you, Mr. Temple, and it's most kind of you to interest yourself in our little storm in a teacup.
Let's hope it is a storm in a teacup, Mrs. Weldon.
Do sit down, Mrs. Temple. Over by the window. It's rather a pleasant view.
This is a lovely place, Mrs. Weldon.
Yes, isn't it? Particularly at this time of the year.
Surprising that a girl should want to run away from such agreeable surroundings.
Yes, it is. Dear, oh dear. This is a most irritating affair.
You still haven't heard anything from the Conrad girl, I take it?
No, not a word.
What's your opinion of all this, Mrs. Weldon?
Well, I can't help feeling that she's lost her head over some man or other. She's at a very susceptible age, you know.
Do you think she might have had a crush on Elliot France?
Well, that's possible, of course. But I don't think for a moment that Mr. France is involved in any way, if that's what you mean, Mrs. Temple.
And Countess Decker?
Oh, quite beyond suspicion. I've known Elsa, the Countess, for some time. We're great friends. She's entertained the girls almost since the school started.
Well, I hope we'll be able to find this girl, Mrs. Weldon. But there seems to be very little to go on at the present moment.
Are you staying in Garmisch or in Munich?
In Garmisch, at the Parkenkirchen Hotel. We flew from London this morning.
Well, you'll have the full cooperation of everyone here, I assure you.
Thank you. Perhaps it might be a good idea if I had a talk with June Jackson. I believe she shared a room with Betty Conrad.
Yes, but I'm afraid you won't get much sense out of June just at the moment.
Oh? Why is that?
She's been in bed since yesterday afternoon with a very bad headache. I called on the doctor, but he couldn't find anything seriously wrong.
Perhaps it would be a better idea if I talked to her. I'm not quite so terrifying as my husband.
No, I see no objection to that, Mrs. Temple. So long as you make it a fairly short visit. The poor girl really does seem to be under the weather.
I'm afraid that chair isn't very comfortable, Mrs. Temple.
I'm quite comfortable, thank you. I'm sorry you're not feeling very well, June.
Oh, I'll be okay.
Do you think you should be reading if you have a bad headache?
I wasn't really reading, just kind of skipping, I guess.
The third and fourth generation by Elliot France.
It's one of Betty's books. Can't say I go for him myself.
Betty's rather young to be reading Elliot France, isn't she?
I doubt if she understands half of it. I'm sure I don't. But she's crazy about him. As a person, I mean.
You're fond of Betty, aren't you?
We've shared a room for 2 years. Hardly ever had a row. I guess that's a record.
Aren't you worried about what's happened to her?
I don't mind telling you I'm very worried, Mrs. Temple. At first, I thought it was some kind of a joke.
Why, does she play jokes?
Well, yes, sort of.
But you believed her when she said she was going to tea with Elliot France.
Of course I believed her. She was so thrilled about it. I told her she really has a crush on him. Mm-hmm. Should have seen her face when she came running in here to say she'd actually been talking to him on the telephone and he asked her to tea.
Mr. France says he knows nothing about the telephone call.
What do you mean?
He says he didn't phone her.
Well, somebody did. If it wasn't France, then someone impersonated him.
Yes.
You think that's a possibility, Mrs. Temple?
Yes, I do. The man on the phone must have known that she had a crush on France and that she'd be sure to turn up if he invited her out to tea. He could have intercepted her at a certain place at a fixed time. Well, yes, I think it's a possibility, June. Have you met Mr. France?
Oh, yes, we've all met him. All the girls. At some time or other.
Would you say that he had encouraged Betty at all?
No, I don't think so.
You think she'd have told you if he had?
Oh, sure, she'd have told me, all right.
Was Betty happy at school? Can you think of any reason why she should run away?
No. Guess she was one of the happiest girls here. Happier than she was at home, I'm sure of that. After all, they're not very strict here, you know. We get lots of freedom. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's certainly a mystery, June.
It sure is. I wish I could think of something, Mrs. Temple. I've been lying here thinking and thinking. Guess it's what's brought on this headache. But if there's anything I can do, you've only got to say the word.
Thank you. By the way, I suppose there haven't been any letters or messages for Betty since she disappeared?
No, nothing. Only a postcard from a shop in Garmisch. She'll be here somewhere. Oh, yeah, there it is, behind that vase.
Oh, thank you.
What does it say? I forget.
Dear madam, your coat, the blue coat, will be ready on Friday the 18th at 4 o'clock.
Episode 2, Concerning Elliot France.
What does it say? I forget.
Dear madam, your coat, the blue coat, will be ready on Friday the 18th at 4 o'clock.
Oh, yes, of course, I remember now. Betty was having a new coat made at Brunner's.
Brunner's?
Yes, it's the best dress shop in Garmisch. Countess Decker recommended her. She was very thrilled. The Countess gets most of her clothes there.
What, in Garmisch?
Yes.
I thought Countess Decker was an extremely wealthy woman.
Oh, she is.
Well, surely she'd buy her clothes in Paris or Rome or Munich even.
Well, I'm only repeating what Betty told me. Why are you interested in that card?
My husband and I are trying to find out what's happened to Betty Conrad. Even the most ordinary object might be an important clue.
Well, I've told you everything I know, Mrs. Temple. I'm sorry not to have been more helpful.
You've been very helpful, and I'm most grateful. Tell me, did Betty see a great deal of Mr. France?
No, I don't think so. Although, come to think of it, she saw quite a lot of Countess Decker.
I see. June, tell me, was Betty very attached to her parents?
Well, I suppose I shouldn't say this, but Betty didn't get on too well with her stepmother, and even her father hadn't a lot of time for Betty. He's a pretty busy man.
Well, at the moment, he must be a pretty worried man.
Because of what's happened to Betty?
Yes.
Well, if there's anything I can do to help you, Mrs. Temple...
I'll remember that. Well, now, I'll take this postcard, if you don't mind. If Betty turns up, I'll let her know about the coat. Oh,
sure. A phone call will fix that.
Goodbye, June. I hope your headache will soon be better.
Oh, it's practically gone now, Mrs. Temple. Goodbye.
I must say, the food's very good here.
It's a very good hotel altogether. I wish Brickshaw would turn up.
You think he might know something about Brunner's?
Oh, the dress shop. Yes, it's possible, I suppose.
You know, those two postcards, the one we found in Oxted, addressed to Mrs. Conrad, and now this one addressed to Betty Conrad, aren't just a coincidence, Paul.
Yes, I agree. You said June Jackson knew that Betty had ordered a coat from Brunner's.
No, she didn't exactly say that she knew about the coat. She said she knew that Betty had been to Brunner's and had been recommended to go there by Countess Decker.
I see.
You know, Paul, I think we made a mistake in coming to Bavaria without first seeing Dr. Conrad.
Why do you say that?
Well, June seemed to think that things went too happy with the Conrads.
Well, Sir Graham saw Dr. Conrad on more than one occasion. He seemed to be perfectly satisfied.
Yes, I know, but if Betty had an unhappy home life...
Excuse me, sir. Herr Breckschardt wishes to speak with you. He's waiting in the lounge. He says he'll remain there until you've finished dinner.
Oh, thank you, waiter. We'll take our coffee in the lounge, then. Coffee for three, please.
Yes, Mr. Temple.
Good evening, Mrs. Temple.
Good evening.
Mr. Temple.
Oh,
We rather wondered what had happened to you, Herr Breckshaft.
Oh, I've been so busy since I got back, Mrs. Temple. My work fell behind when I was in England.
Are there any new developments in the Conrad case?
Not so far as I'm concerned, I'm afraid.
No. You know, I think it might be a good idea if my wife and I went to that hotel you were telling us about, where you found the cocktail sticks.
Oh, the Hotel Reimer. Yes, yes, I agree. It's at Oberammergau. It's just outside the village, on the road from Garmisch.
Do you know a dress shop in Garmisch called Brunner's?
Why, certainly. A very reputable firm. But why are you interested in Brunner's, Mrs. Temple?
My wife found this postcard in Betty Conrad's room at the school.
Actually, June Jackson gave it to me.
A blue coat, Friday the 18th.
You remember the card we found at Oxford, addressed to Mrs. Conrad?
Oh, I do. I do indeed, Mr. Temple. It's a curious coincidence.
Is it a coincidence?
I saw Mrs. Conrad when I was in London. She seems a strange woman. She didn't appear unduly perturbed by the disappearance of her stepdaughter.
Perhaps she wasn't perturbed.
No. No, perhaps she wasn't, Mrs. Temple. But tell me, what do you think of Mrs. Weldon?
Well, she was obviously upset when we saw her.
Naturally, she's anxious for the reputation of her school. But I doubt if I shall be able to keep this case from the newspapers very much longer.
Get to sleep. I don't know why.
Are you thinking about Betty Conrad?
Yes, I am. You know, Paul, I just can't weigh up Breckshaft.
How do you mean?
Oh, I don't know. Something about him.
He's a very worried man, darling. After all, it should be a comparatively easy matter for him to find an English girl in Bavaria.
Yes.
Look, I want you to do something for me tomorrow.
What?
I want you to go to that dress shop, Brunner's.
Oh, delighted, Mr. Temple. What do I buy myself when I get there?
You don't buy yourself anything, darling.
You mean it?
No, seriously. This is what I want you to do. I want you to tell everyone in the shop all about the Conrad case.
Can I show you something, madame?
Oh, yes, of course. How did you know I was English?
I can always tell, madame. I worked in Bond Street for 2-3 years. Is there anything I can show you?
Really, in Bond Street? How extraordinary. It's a small world, isn't it?
Yes, madame.
How long have you been here, at Brunner's in Garmisch?
Oh, for 3 years I was at our Munich shop. I came here last year. What can I show you, madame?
Those lace blouses. I think they're most intriguing. They're frightfully expensive, I suppose.
Oh, not so expensive, madame. Just under... let me see. Just under £12.
Oh, quite reasonable. I adore the colours. I don't know which would suit me best. I think perhaps the beige. Or that pale chiffon. I'm not really sure.
Perhaps I can help, madame.
Oh, thank you.
All right, Theodore.
Yes, madame Klein.
Now, madame, the grey one would be perfect match for the skirt you're wearing, if you intend to wear it with that skirt, of course.
Well, actually, I thought, yes, it is nice, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, I believe you're right.
Shall I send it, madame, or would you like to take it with you?
Oh, well, I mean, I haven't quite made up my mind yet. I thought perhaps... yes, I'll take it.
Yes, madame.
No, on second thought, no, I'll take it with me.
Very good, madame.
No, I won't. You can send it to the hotel. My husband and I are staying at the Partenkirchen.
At the Partenkirchen. And the name?
Mrs. Paul Temple.
Mrs. Paul Temple?
Yes.
Are you on holiday in Garmisch, Mrs. Temple?
Well, not exactly a holiday. My husband's investigating the disappearance of this schoolgirl, you know? The English girl who disappeared from Mrs. Weldon's.
Girl who disappeared?
Haven't you heard?
No.
Oh, I thought everyone in Garmisch knew about it. Goodness knows my husband's talked to dozens of people since he got here. In fact, he's never stopped talking. Oh, that reminds me. Somebody told me that the missing girl, Betty Conrad, was a customer of yours.
Betty Conrad?
Yes, I believe she ordered a coat from you, a blue coat.
Betty Conrad. I'm afraid I don't recall the name, Mrs. Temple. But wait a moment, I'll look in my day book.
Oh, thank you so much. Of course, the girl must be somewhere. I mean, she can't have completely disappeared. Oh, have you found something?
Yes, I have. You're quite right, Mrs. Temple. We have a customer called Betty Conrad.
And she ordered a coat from you?
Yes, she did. A blue coat. It's quite ready, or rather it will be by Friday. We sent her a card to that effect. But you say this girl has disappeared, Mrs. Temple?
Yes, completely. That's why my husband is here in Garmisch. He's helping the police, unofficially, of course. A man called Breckshaft consulted Scotland Yard, and they decided... Oh, dear. Perhaps I shouldn't have told you that.
Oh, that's all right, Mrs. Temple.
The parcel for Madame.
Mrs. Temple wishes it to be sent to the apartment here.
No. Now it's ready. I'll take it with me. It's only a small parcel. Thank you.
Thank you, Madame.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Madame, the blouse was 150 Deutschmarks, Madame.
Oh. Oh, yes, of course. How stupid of me. How very stupid.
Yes, Madame.
I gather you didn't take to Madame Klein.
No, I didn't. Anyway, I did what you wanted, Paul, and I bought myself a very nice blouse. Hey, where are we going? This isn't the road to Oberammergau.
Oh, good Lord, I almost forgot. Elliot France telephoned me soon after you left.
Oh?
He wants to see me. That's where we're going, darling, to Scheidenstein, Countess Decker's place.
What was France like? On the phone, I mean.
Oh, smooth, sympathetic, apparently concerned about Betty Conrad. Much as I expected.
You don't sound very enthusiastic.
I'm reserving judgment on Mr. Franz until we've met.
This isn't a very good road, is it?
No, it isn't. Surprisingly bad for Bavaria.
And it's not very wide, either.
Hello, somebody's in a hurry.
It's a sports car. It's an enormous thing. He's trying to pass you.
He can't. There's a railway arch ahead.
Oh, pull over, Paul!
Steve, are you all right?
Yes. I'm a bit shaken, that's all.
Another 10 yards and we'd have been into that wall.
Oh.
Come on, I think we can get out this side.
Oh, gosh.
Did you get a look at the driver?
He was wearing a white crash helmet and sunglasses. Lord. Could it have been planned? I mean, who knew that we were going to be here this morning?
Elliot France, for one.
Surely you don't think...
I don't think anything at the moment, darling. We mustn't jump to conclusions.
Oh. What about the car?
Well, I think it'll probably be all right, unless something's got jammed. The question is, how do we get it out of the ditch?
We'll never do it without some help.
I wonder if there's a telephone box around here.
Oh, Paul, there's a car coming.
Oh, I'll try and stop him.
Hope you can make him understand.
Oh, he'll understand all right when he sees the car. Now, guten Tag. Es tut mir leid, aber...
Good afternoon, Mr. Temple.
Oh, you're English.
Yes, that's right. My name's Dennis Harper. I expect you're Mrs. Temple.
Yes.
Well, how did you recognize us?
Well, I've just been reading a German edition of the Tyler mystery, Mr. Temple. There's a large photograph of you in the back of the jacket.
Well, you certainly have a good memory, Mr. Harper.
Well, actually, I knew you were in garbage.
Did a cream sports car pass you just now?
Well, no. But then the road forks about half a mile from here. What happened?
Sports car forced us into the ditch.
But he intended to force us into the railway arch.
Good Lord. I say, who was this customer? They're usually pretty good drivers over here, you know?
We don't know who it was. We only just caught a glimpse of him. However, there's no great damage done if we can get the car out of this ditch.
Oh, we'll soon fix that. I've got a rope in the boot of my car.
Oh, good.
Just hold on, I'll fetch it.
Look, I should sit down, darling. This is going to take some time.
Yes, I'd be glad to.
Here she comes. Steady now. Steady.
That's all right. All clear, Harper.
Oh, jolly good, sir.
We're really most grateful to you, Harper.
No, not at all. Only too glad to help.
As a matter of fact, I was coming to see you anyway after I'd finished my business in Garmisch.
You were?
Yes, I wanted to talk to you about Betty Conrad.
Betty Conrad?
Why, of course. You're the young man who works in the bank at Munich.
Yes, that's right. The Anglo-Continental Bank. I'm on my way to our branch at Garmisch now.
But how did you know I was at Garmisch?
Well, I've been questioned a lot by the Munich police since I got back from my holidays. During one of the sessions, Breckshaft came in and spoke to the officer who was questioning me. I gather that he'd just come back from England and brought you with him, Mr. Temple.
I see.
Were you a great friend of Betty Conrad's, Mr. Harper?
Well, I don't know whether you call us great friends exactly.
Where did you meet?
At the Queen's Club ice rink about 6 months ago. That was before I was posted to Munich, of course.
Do you like working in Germany?
Oh, rather. Wouldn't go back for anything. I don't mind telling you I had to pull a few strings to get here in the first place.
But what about this Conrad case, Mr. Harper? Hasn't it worried you at all?
Well, I haven't exactly liked all these confounded questions the police have been asking me, if that's what you mean, Mrs. Temple.
No, I meant, aren't you worried at all at the thought that Betty's completely disappeared?
Well, of course, it's going to be jolly awkward if she doesn't show up. If she's involved in any sort of crime and I'm associated with her, however innocently, well, you know how banks are about these things.
I'm afraid our knowledge of banks is confined to the customer side of the counter.
Yes, well, banks are still pretty old-fashioned, you know. They don't like their staff being questioned by the police.
Well, I'm afraid in a case of this kind, the police have very little alternative. But you said you intended to visit me in Garmisch. Why?
Well, I was going to ask you to speak to this Breckshaft person and assure him I knew nothing at all about this business. Naturally, I don't want to be mixed up in anything, And anyhow, I'm sure Betty's all right. I'm sure there's a perfectly simple explanation of all this.
How often did you see Betty?
Oh, once a month at the outside.
Did you ever take her to the Hotel Roemer at Oberammergau?
No. No, we only went to Oberammergau once, and that was many months ago. We didn't stay long because the village was crowded. Betty wasn't supposed to go there, you know, it was out of bounds.
Yes, I know. Harper, tell me, did Mrs. Weldon ever question you about...
Oh.
Yeah, Steve, are you all right?
Mrs. Temple.
I feel a little faint.
It's all right, darling. I've got you.
It's delayed shock, I should imagine.
Yes.
It's all right. There's nothing to worry about. But...
Steve, I think you should go back to the hotel and lie down for a little while. There's no point in coming with me, darling.
Well, why not come back to Garmisch with me, Mrs. Temple? I can drop you at your hotel. Which one is it, sir? The Partenkirchen?
Yes. I should do that, darling, if I were you.
Yes. All right, Paul.
Good. Don't forget your parcel, darling. Here you are.
Oh, I'll take it, Mrs. Temple.
Oh, thank you. Now, you're sure you'll be all right,
yes,
Steve?
Oh, I'll take good care of her, sir.
Or perhaps you'll dine with us this evening, Harper.
Well, I'd like to, but it may be a little difficult.
Oh, well, drop into the hotel for a drink. Any time during the evening.
Oh, that's very kind of you. I'll phone you later, if I may.
Yes, of course.
But why? Should anyone wish to impersonate me?
I have no idea, Mr. Franz, but the gentleman in question certainly paid for his impersonation.
He certainly did, if, as you say, he was murdered.
He was murdered, all right.
But who was this man who impersonated me?
We don't know. Yet.
Do you think the murderer was under the impression that it was actually me whom he murdered?
No, somehow I don't think so.
Well, all of us feel like murdering somebody at some time or other. Perhaps someone felt that way about me. Still, I find this considerably less disturbing than those continual visits from the police. If I've told them once, I've told them 20 times that I didn't invite this girl to tea.
But you can't blame the police. They've established that she was seen getting off the bus at the entrance to this estate. And her friend, June Jackson, says that Betty told her that you did invite her to tea.
Why on earth should I invite a schoolgirl to have tea with me?
Betty Conrad wasn't exactly a schoolgirl. She was 18 and very attractive.
Was 18? Why do you use the past tense?
Oh, I didn't mean it that way. I merely... Mr. Franz, you haven't told me why you wanted to see me. If you've told the police everything you know, why should you send for me?
There's something I haven't told the police.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Elliot. I didn't know you had someone with you.
Oh, that's all right, Elsa. Come in, my dear. May I introduce Mr. Temple, Countess Decker.
How do you do?
I expect you've heard of Mr. Temple, Elsa.
Yes, indeed. I heard that you were in Garmisch, Mr. Temple. Are you going to solve all our problems for us?
I shall do my best.
I can't understand why an Englishman is expected to find this girl when the entire Bavarian police force has failed.
The missing girl happens to be English, and I know something of her background. And I'm working in cooperation with the Munich police. It was at their invitation that I came here.
Yes. Of course, I realize that. Forgive me if I sounded a little abrupt. This business is so irritating. So many questions are being asked. So many unnecessary questions. It's perfectly obvious what's happened. The girl got tired of the school and just decided to disappear.
Yes, but where did she disappear to, Countess?
That's for you to find out, Mr. Temple. Elliot, I thought we'd have tea on the lawn since it's such a lovely afternoon.
Yes, of course, Elsa.
You'll join us, of course, Mr. Temple.
Thank you. Mr. Franz, there's just one question I'd like to ask you. Forgive me if it sounds a little impertinent.
If it's about Betty Conrad, go ahead.
Would you say that she was infatuated with you?
Good heavens, no.
Of course she was infatuated with you, Elliot. All of the girls at Weldon's are.
Oh, that's absurd. Why should they be infatuated with a middle-aged novelist?
Because you are good-looking, and you write the sort of books that schoolgirls shouldn't read.
Thank you, Countess. You've answered my question.
Now, shall we have tea? Or are there any more questions, Mr. Temple?
Just one. Did you recommend Brunner's to Betty Conrad?
Brunner's?
The dress shop in Garmisch.
Why, no. I don't think so. Why do you ask?
I wondered, that's all.
Let's have tea, Elsa. I hope you haven't got the wrong impression of Elsa, Mr. Temple. She's not usually a difficult person.
Oh, I didn't think she was difficult this afternoon. A little worried, perhaps, but under the circumstances, that's only natural.
Yes, this Conrad business has worried her quite a bit, you know. More than she admits. You see, she's friendly with quite a lot of the world, and girls, they come to tea and listen to Elsa laying down the law about clothes and politics and the cost of living and that sort of thing.
Hmm. How long have you known her?
Elsa? Oh, donkey's years. We're very old friends. I say, is this your car?
Yes.
My word, you did have a smash up, didn't you? Is Mrs. Temple all right?
She was rather badly shaken. That's why she went back to the hotel.
Yes, I can well believe it.
Mr. Franz, before we had tea, before we were interrupted, you said there was something you wanted to tell me.
Yes.
Well, what was it?
Once, a long time ago, I met Betty Conrad's father in Harley Street.
You mean you consulted him?
Yes. He's a psychiatrist, you know.
Yes, I know that. Well, go on.
Well, I just wanted to ask you, are professional men like Dr. Conrad bound by an oath of secrecy?
What do you mean?
I mean, would Dr. Conrad discuss his patients with anyone, for instance?
Oh, I very much doubt it.
Not even with the police?
I think that would rather depend on the circumstances.
And the patient.
Yes, and the patient.
Well, thank you, Mr. Temple. It's been very nice meeting you. I hope I shall have the pleasure again.
Mr. Franz, why did you consult Dr. Conrad?
I was very ill at the time. Very ill.
Good afternoon, Mr. Temple.
Good afternoon. May I have my key, please?
Mrs. Temple's upstairs, sir. She went up about half an hour ago.
Oh, thank you.
This note came for you by messenger, Mr. Temple.
Oh, thank you. When did this arrive?
Just after lunch, sir.
Oh, I see. Well, in future, it's perfectly all right to give my wife any letters that are addressed to me.
Very good, Mr. Temple. Thank you, sir.
Oh, hello, Paul.
How are you, Steve? You feeling any better?
Yes, I feel fine. Dennis Harper brought me back to the hotel. I had a rest for an hour or so.
Did you find out anything about Mr. Harper?
What do you mean?
Darling, I know you were pretty badly shaken, but you weren't that bad. You don't think you took me in with that corny fainting act?
Well, I had a hunch about Dennis Harper.
I know, that good old intuition.
You can laugh, but it's paid off anyway.
What do you mean?
Well, after I'd had a sleep, I felt so much better, I decided to go out to tea. I found a wonderful little cafe just off the main street, bristling with period bits and pieces, and the most wonderful pastries you've ever seen.
I thought you were supposed to be on a diet.
Well, I mean, apart from that, I just got myself nicely settled in a corner with two of the largest meringues, and in walked Dennis Harper.
Well, what's extraordinary about that, if it was tea time?
Mr. Harper wasn't alone, darling.
Oh.
You remember the woman that I told you about at Brunner's, the dress shop?
Madame Klein?
Hmm. Well, Mr. Harper and Madame Klein had tea together. And it wasn't the first time they've had tea together either, if you ask me.
Ah, this interests me, Steve.
Yes.
And I'll tell you something that will interest you now.
Yes?
Apparently, Elliot France was once a patient of Dr. Conrad's.
He was?
Mm-hmm.
Did he tell you that himself?
Yes. Incidentally, I've had a note from Dr. Conrad. He's in Garmisch. He's calling round to see me this evening.
Is he?
What do you mean, is he? Sound very mysterious.
Paul, what does Dr. Conrad look like?
Well, I've never actually seen him, but judging from his photographs, he's a dapper little man with a grey beard.
And glasses? Rimless glasses?
Yes, I think so.
He was in the cafe.
With Harper?
No, he was at the cash desk just as I walked in. I must have seen the photograph of him somewhere myself. Because, you know how it is, I recognized him without actually knowing who it was.
Was anyone with him?
No, he was alone.
Hello?
Herr Temple?
Yes?
Reception desk here, sir. Dr. Conrad is asking for you.
Oh, thank you. I'll be right down.
Who is it, darling?
It's Conrad. I shan't be long, darling.
All right. Will you take the key? I shall probably have a bath.
Believe me, Mr. Temple, I'd have been here several days ago, but it's extremely difficult for me to leave my patients for any length of time.
I should have thought that this matter would have taken priority over even your patients, Dr. Conrad.
You don't understand. Some of them are very ill.
Was Mr. Franz very ill?
You know about Mr. Franz. You know that he consulted me?
Yes.
Who told you?
He told me himself.
Did he tell you what was wrong with him?
No. And I'm not going to ask you to divulge professional confidences, Dr. Conrad.
I've told Sir Graham. I suppose there's no reason why I shouldn't tell you. Elliot Franz was a pretty bad psychopathic case. He had obsessional tendencies.
Obsessional tendencies?
Yes. Particularly with regard to young women.
I'm afraid I don't quite follow you, Doctor.
Once, a long time ago, Franz tried to murder someone. A young girl, a complete stranger to him. I'd rather not say any more about it, Mr. Temple.
And you were able to help him?
Yes, I was able to help him. He was extremely grateful, I'll say that for him. So grateful, in fact, that he gave me this cigarette case.
Quite touchingly inscribed. In memory of a successful cure.
Yes, in memory of a successful cure.
What's worrying you, Dr. Conrad?
You know perfectly well what's worrying me. Was he really cured?
Did you see Dr. Conrad?
Yes.
How long is he staying here?
I don't know. Not very long, I think.
Has he seen Breckshaw?
Yes, he saw him in London. Steve, what's this parcel on the bed?
Parcel?
Hmm.
Oh, it's a blouse I bought this morning. You can unwrap it for me if you like. Hmm. Did you tell Conrad you knew about Franz?
Yes.
And what did he say?
He was pretty frank with me.
What's that you've got in your hand?
What does it look like?
And it looks like one of those cocktail sticks. It is. I can see the head, the Alsatian.
Yes.
Where on earth did you find that, Paul?
It was in the parcel, with the blouse.